Father, our strength, my soul, calling you to account. He will bless his lips. He is anointed to preach your word to us, and may we be ready to receive it. Bless him all.
So I'm going to read from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the scriptures are up there. The first one, 14 verses, but the other three are just a couple of verses. So the first one I'm going to read is Matthew 18, verse 1 to 14. And then I'll read the others as well. So Matthew 18, verses 1 to 14. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said this, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if the millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." The language Jesus is using here is called hyperbole. He's exaggerating to prove a point. "Woe to the world because of offences, for offences must come, but woe to that man by whom the offence comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet, to be cast into the everlasting fire." This is the word of Jesus. "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones." He's still talking about children. "For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And I'm also going to read Matthew 19:13-15. "Then little children were brought to him," to Jesus, "that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and departed from them." Mark 10:13-16. These are parallel verses. The same thing is happening in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. "Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" And now Luke 18:15-17. "Then they also brought infants to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, as the rule of God, as a little child, will by no means enter it.'" And I've spotted three things in these passages. There's bound to be more, but I've spotted three things that I believe Jesus Christ is saying. in these passages. Jesus is saying, not me. This is what Jesus is saying. Number one is humility is the doorway to God. Humility is the doorway to God. And humility is the continued doorway to God. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ initially, there's a humility involved. It's accepting that He has done the sacrifice and there is nothing you can do. It's what God did for you, and you receive that by faith, by believing in it. And when you believe in it, it's receiving it. But as we follow Jesus, we continue to be humble. And if we want more of God, we explore humility. The second thing I've picked out is that I believe Jesus is saying that our attitude towards children is directly connected to our willingness to receive the rule of God in our lives. I'll say that again. Our attitude towards children is directly connected to our willingness to receive the rule of God in our lives. And I'll unpack these. The third one, and this is when it gets actually quite serious, this is what Jesus is saying. A negative attitude towards children can turn children away from Jesus. And Jesus will hold you and I responsible if we take part in that. So our negative attitude towards children could turn children away from Jesus. And He's going to hold us accountable for that. So number one, humility. As we read in Matthew 18, Jesus is saying, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, I believe, invites all to be in relationship with Him. The scripture says God doesn't desire that anybody would know Jesus. Now, people reject it, but it's God's desire that everybody would come to faith in Him. Meaning the door is open for anyone. And He also desires that we would grow in relationship with Him. I don't believe that it's God's desire to come down and get people saved, and as I've said before, give them fire insurance, and then they spend the rest of their lives doing what they like, not really connecting with God. I believe it's God's will that we grow in relationship with Him. We grow in maturity. And humility is the doorway to discovering more about Jesus and discovering more about the kingdom, discovering about the rule of God in our lives. That's how we explore it. That's how we receive it. God desires to reveal the kingdom to the humble and the dependent. Children are so dependent. And God desires us, no matter what age we are, to be dependent on Him. And dependency gives you access to understanding about the rule of God. The more you depend on God, the more you will see of God. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humility and dependence give you access to grace. They give you access to God. And sadly, the reverse is true. Pride will stop you experiencing God. You won't see the kingdom if you're proud. You'll miss out. And that's the heart of God. But what does humility mean? Whoever humbles himself, Jesus says. Jack Hayford says, this word literally means to make low. It describes a person who is devoid of all arrogance, devoid of all self-exaltation. This is a person who is willingly submitted to God and His will, whatever the cost. And actually, whatever the cost is what I start in the end. It's a person who's willingly submitted to God and God's will. It takes humility to accept that you and I, it takes humility for you and I to accept that we could do nothing to receive salvation. It, as John Piper said, it's a work external to ourselves that we believe in and we receive. It was a plan for Jesus to die on the cross, rise again, that we might be in relationship with him before he made the earth. It was an eternal plan. And so it's not our doing that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And it actually takes humility to receive that. Because you think, well, surely I can do something. Surely I can do something. Don't you know who I am? Or is that just me? It does take humility. There's humility in salvation. Romans 5:8 says, God's love is proved to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were sinners, Christ died for us to give us the option to receive him. So that's not really much to do with us, is it? God's love is proved for us on the cross. And his love for us is proved by him revealing to us through Scripture, through Jesus, that humility will give us more access to him. God doesn't have to tell us how to get more of him. He doesn't have to let us know. He can say, you guys find out for yourself. But he's told us how to have access to him. Be dependent on me. Be humble. And you will see more of me. You will experience more of the kingdom of God. You will experience what it means to have the rule of God over your life. He doesn't have to tell us that. And our greatness in the eyes of God, as we walk with him, is dependent on our humble willingness to put our own agenda aside and to step into God's agenda. Now, obviously, we're believers. We are partnering with God. Much of what is on God's agenda is on our agenda. We want to see people saved. We want to see people loved. We want to see people healed. We want to see the poor fed. We want to see this city change for Jesus. We want to see our families grow. We want to see love and mercy and kindness and grow. We want to see all that. We're not opposing God's will in that. But actually, a mark of your humility and my humility is when you are faced with something that God wants to do and you don't, that's when you find out how humble you really are. Our willingness to lay aside our will so God's will be done is a measure of how humble we really are. So that's a bit about humility. The second point I believe Jesus is making is that our attitude towards children tells us how willing we are to receive the rule of God in our lives. Our attitude towards children is directly connected to our willingness to receive the rule of God in our lives. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. How we receive children reveals how much we want to receive Jesus. As we read in Mark 10, let the little children come to me, Jesus said. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. That's the ESV. To such belongs the kingdom of God. The New King James says, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, the rule of God, belongs to the children. The rule of God is upon children. Children are carrying the rule of God in their very existence. I've cried out to God and said, why then? Now we know we're carrying God's presence with say, we have Rob. I'm talking about children now. Why then? God, why have you given the rule to somebody who puts broccoli in my coffee? They're my children. Why have you given your rule to someone who draws all over my newly painted wall? Why is that? The children are carrying the rule of God because the children expose our pride. The children expose our selfishness. The children expose our impatience. The children expose our lovelessness. They expose it like nothing else I've ever experienced. They do that by their very presence. Psalm 127:5 says, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of children." And for years, about six, I said, because my eldest is six, said, "What does that mean?" Now, of course, children are blessed. We love them. That remains the case. But there are times when I said, "What do you mean? So you're saying the more that's there, the more blessed I'm going to be?" I'm just thinking, if there's any more of this, I'm not sure. And a quiver, it says, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full." Quiver is the pouch that holds arrows for soldiers. So the quiver is full. It's poetically pointing to a soldier with arrows. He's like, pulling, seen Lord of the Rings, the elves, pulling out the arrows and they're firing. That's what he's pointing to. Because children carry the rule of God, their behaviour, their actual existence, points arrows at our selfishness. Arrows at our pride. Arrows at our lovelessness. They just expose it. That's what God is doing. It's amazing to me how receiving the rule of God is like children. And again, this is not just for parents. This is for a church environment. Look at this. The rule of God brings change. Children bring change. The rule of God has a supernatural ability to get under your skin and my skin. Children have a supernatural ability to get under your skin and my skin. The rule of God is inconvenient. Children's behaviour is inconvenient. The rule of God and children are hugely testing. Hugely. But hugely rewarding. The rule of God and children require patience and diligence. The rule of God and children carry unpredictability. See, as much as we think we know God, think about the expanse of the universe as we've looked at the last few weeks. It's just amazing. And essentially, in the context of what we know about God, fits on my little fingernail. We've got Scripture, we know truths. There are non-negotiable truths of Scripture, but what we actually know about God is next to nothing compared to who he is. And that's supposed to encourage you and give you a grand perspective. But God is unpredictable. You can't always predict what God is going to do. You're praying for something and he answers you in a way that you don't understand. You ask for a blessing, and he answers that in a way that you don't actually want. You say, "Well, if I wanted that, I'd have asked for that." There's an unpredictability about God. And you could go on, there's loads of it. The rule of God and children have a supernatural ability to make you do what you don't want to do. It's amazing. Last week I sat down in my living room. One of my children came up to me and said, "I want to play horsey, Dad. I want to play horsey." And I said, "I don't want to play horsey. I was tired. Horses want to get down on all fours. And they all just jump on me and I'm going around the house." And it's quite an exercise. It's quite an ordeal. And I said, "I'm not doing it. There's no way I'm doing it. There's no way I'm not doing it. I'm tired. I'm not doing it this time. I'm doing it maybe later. I'm just not doing it." 5 minutes later, I'm on all fours, horsey. I don't know how that happened. Everything in me was saying no, and all of a sudden I'm doing it. The rule of God is the same. There was a time when I said to God, I won't do any public speaking anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. Look at me. For want of a better phrase, I'm public speaking. God has a supernatural ability to bring you to a place that you don't think you want to be, that He knows that's where He wants you. And it's amazing. When you surrender in humility and depend on Him, He can take you places and actually show you things that are beyond your wildest dreams. It's awesome. Children and the rule of God have a remarkable ability to reach the parts that others can't reach. Now, those of you who the English, you'll remember a Heineken advert. And I just thought, sure, I remember that from a kid. And I googled it, it's the Heineken advert about reaching parts that others can't reach. And there's a funny one with the policemen. They're all stood there. There's a line of them, and they're all stood there, and their feet aren't moving. They've all got bare feet. And they're all tired after a long shift. And then they drink a bit of Heineken, and their feet start moving. Does anyone remember that advert? Yeah, I don't recommend you drink beer to get your feet moving. I'm just using it as a point. So children are a blessing from God that with laser precision they expose our hearts just by being there. A child will reveal where your heart really is at. Because they're carrying the rule of God. You see, a child will reveal what you really think about church. A child will reveal what you really think about church. If you think church is all about you and your comfort, that's all planned. If you think church is all about you and your comfort, God will reveal actually church is not just about you and your comfort. Of course church is about you. He wants you to experience it. But church is primarily about us gathering together, lifting God up, and ensuring a legacy mindset that we would see others thrive. It's God's will that we would come to church for others. To serve and love others. To look out for someone they haven't spoken to anyone for. I'm going for them. We can, all of us have done it. We can come to church and think it's all about me and my comfort and what's going on in my life and my relationship with God. Everything else can just wait. Well, actually, in a church environment, we are called to support one another and love one another. And my point is that a child's behaviour can expose what you think about church. If a child plays up in church, you're breaking bread, you're taking communion, and a child behind you starts crying, it exposes something. I've done it before. God has convicted me. I'm preaching to myself. God has convicted me. I've been worshipping. And just, I'm worshipping the Lord. Stop doing that. I'm worshipping the Lord. I'm a man of God. Stop it. The Lord's saying, don't do that. You're their father. You look to them. You look after them. You teach them how to worship. And while they're misbehaving, you show grace. And say, you know, they haven't quite got it yet. They're 2 years old. Just show grace. Love them through it. Their behavior exposed my heart. And actually the Lord said, well, maybe if you spend a bit more time with me during the week, you wouldn't come to church so desperate and thirsty for some touch of God that you can actually get 24/7 if you're willing. So we've looked at humility. We've looked at how our attitude towards children is directly connected to our willingness to receive the rule of God in our lives. And the third one is that a negative attitude towards children can turn them away from Jesus. And Jesus holds us accountable for this. And this is where Jesus gets serious. And there is a strong warning. As we read, Jesus says, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for them if a millstone were hung around their neck and they were drowned in the depth of the sea. You see, if you and I don't nurture a life of humility and dependence on God in our hearts, we can actually, without knowing it, be responsible for turning children from Jesus into sin, and that carries serious consequences. Matthew 18:5. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. If you don't receive children, you don't receive Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000, we know about that story. Who brings the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? A child. You don't receive children, you don't eat. That child was pushed away. There ain't no miracle, and nobody eats. If the disciples were rebuked that child, and said, "What? We don't need your lunch. We don't need what you're bringing to us. We'll take care of it ourselves." Nobody eats. And the same blessing that Jesus gave for the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the same blessing that he gives here to the children. Because he receives them and he blesses them. If we don't receive the children, we are rejecting Jesus. And if we reject Jesus, we won't eat. We won't feast on what God has for us. Jesus is saying that if we don't humble ourselves and cooperate with his rule, it will actually build a resistance in our hearts that will ultimately reject the rule of God in our lives. And we will miss out on God's best for us. It will lead to a hardness of heart that will reject God's rule. And you and I will miss out on the kingdom of God. We will miss out on the joys of being led by God. I believe Jesus is so greatly displeased. It says in the scripture, greatly displeased. That means greatly displeased. When he sees his disciples rebuking the children, because it means that the disciples have missed the heart of God. They've missed the heart of God. What is the heart of God? The heart of God is that to come to Jesus is based on his love for you and the value that he places on you, not your behaviour. Coming to Jesus is not primarily about your behaviour. Being able to come to Jesus is about his love for you and the value that he places on you. He's upset because the disciples believe that being accepted and valued by Jesus is dependent on behaviour. I believe it seems the kids were throwing rocks, mucking about. If you come anywhere near, you're going to disturb things. You're going to disturb the system we've got here. If you come in this circle, you're going to disturb. The disciples rebuke the children. Jesus didn't like that. Because the disciples have missed the heart of God. The disciples have missed the fact that Jesus welcomes all. Based on his love for them. And the value that he places on them, not their behaviour. Jesus knew that if the disciples misunderstood the heart of God, they wouldn't spread the gospel as they did. They would misunderstand the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. You and I can come to Jesus because of his love for us and his value for us, not our behaviour. Of course behaviour matters. Behaviour is important, but it's not primarily about your behaviour to come to Jesus. And that's why he's annoyed. Jesus is angry because the disciples only wanted the children when they behaved. Can you imagine if God only wanted us if we behaved? Can you imagine if God only wanted you and I if we were on our best behaviour? Can you imagine the horror of your life and my life if God only accepted us, valued us, and loved us when we behaved? It doesn't bear thinking about. But thankfully, it's not true, because that's why Jesus was angry. He wasn't angry at the children. He wasn't even angry at the disciples at their value. He was angry at their behaviour and their perspective. They failed to see the heart of God. And when we reject the children based on their behaviour, we are rejecting the heart of God. We are demonstrating that we don't understand the heart of God. We are literally manifesting a demonstration that I don't understand how God can love me because of who He is and who He made me to be. It has to be about my behaviour. That's the power of children. That's the power of the rule of God that is on children, because they are living, they're a living example of how God sees us. And if we reject children based on their behaviour, we are demonstrating we don't understand the heart of God, and we are demonstrating that the heart of God to them is that it is based on your behaviour. And it's a lie. If it was based on our behaviour, none of us would be here. We have to humbly accept it's not our behaviour, it's God. And Him, and He is love, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He manifested Himself in the flesh, fully God, fully man, as Jesus, to come and rescue us. And this is one scene, this is one point that Jesus has made. His disciples, don't rebuke them, because you're missing who I am. Knowing this truth about God's acceptance of you based on Him and His love for you empowers you to behave right. This is grace. Grace empowers you to behave right. If you try and behave right to receive acceptance, you will fail. If you receive God's acceptance of you based on His love and understand your value in Him that He's placed on you as a child of God, you will find yourself behaving right. See, God's heart revealed in Christ is we all misbehave, and God says, come to me. Yeah, but God, I did this. Come to me. Yeah, but God, did you not? Shh. Come to me. Now, when you go to Him, the Bible tells us He lovingly disciplines us. And there are things that we do, and children do, that require loving discipline. It doesn't mean that children can do whatever they like. It doesn't mean that they can run riot. It doesn't mean that we can do whatever we like, the grace thing. It doesn't mean that we can all run riot and do whatever because we're forgiven. It means that we can come to Him. I believe God wants us to nurture a culture in this church, in this house, and the body of Christ that reveals His heart for us. A culture of acceptance despite our mistakes. A culture of acceptance despite inappropriate behaviour. Because neither you or I would be here if this church was based on our appropriate behaviour. We've all behaved inappropriately in our lives. But that is not the heart of God to say, have you behaved appropriately? You come this way. Have you behaved inappropriately? You go that way. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I will deal with your sin. I will deal with your behavior. I will deal with it. You must know that you are accepted. And we must ensure that the children know that they're accepted. For multiple reasons that I've pointed out. And we must know within this whole community that we are accepted in Christ. This is for brothers and sisters in Christ. We must nurture a culture of acceptance despite occasional inappropriate behaviour. I'm not encouraging inappropriate behaviour. The deal is, I'll close with this. If we deal with children, because they've made us uncomfortable and they've exposed our selfish needs, we deal with them through that, we will turn them away from Jesus. If we deal with our fellow brothers and sisters because they've inconvenienced us, they've exposed themselves and we just, I just want them out, we will end up turning them away. But if we deal with our children in love, we love them and we want them to see the truth, they will see God in us. And if we deal with one another and relate to one another in the way that God relates to us, people will see God in us. And the challenge is here is that if we don't engage in humility with the Lord, if we don't engage in dependence in the Lord, we will end up turning children and others away, and I don't believe anyone in here wants to have a millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Does anybody want that for themselves? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you answer us. Lord, anything that I've said here that's not of you, I pray it would fall to the ground and be forgotten. Anything that is of you, Lord, would be implanted in our hearts. And we would understand your will for your children. And you would understand, we would understand your will for us, your children. Lord, I pray for a greater revelation of your love for us. I pray for a greater revelation of the value that you place on us because of who you are and not how well we do. And Lord, if there's anyone here that children have, it's been a trouble for them. And I put myself in this. It's challenging. Lord, we now trade it. We give to you that hurt. We give to you that pain. We give to you that confusion. We give to you that unforgiveness. And we receive revelation of your heart for us that we might demonstrate it to others. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I would like to stress that anybody feel that in my prayer, they feel that they don't have it, they're not good enough, please, before you leave, come and have prayer. And I just want to share one thing with you. One of the most freeing times of my life was when I had a light bulb moment that my Heavenly Father loved me warts and all. And I tell you, that really does set me free. I say often every morning, thank you God for making me me. Thank you God for making each one of us individuals. We just need to grasp hold of how much we are loved by God. And it will change our lives. So thank you for that message this morning, Paul. But please, feel free to come to the front if you want prayer for anything. We will gladly pray with you.